Back at it live from Orlando, Florida for CPAC 2021. A good friend of mine, you know, coming to CPAC, you do interviews, but you see people you've known for years. Saul Anuz is one of those people I've seen for years involved in Republican politics. Saul, we've been friends for a number of years. You were greatly involved with Ted Cruz's campaign in 2016.
Right.
Is he running this year?
I think so. I think people expect him to run.
Right.
You know, he's obviously had a few bumps in the road here in the last couple of weeks.
Sure.
Which I think he'll overcome, and I think the left is really going after him because they are worried about him. I think the country is going to be ready for change. I think the Democrats are overstepping their bounds. I think they're pushing to the far left more so than people even expected.
That's true.
You know, we were afraid, was Biden actually going to be a moderate? And it's clear that he does not have control of his government. He is nominating far left-wing progressives to cabinet positions. They're filling spots across the board, and the policies they're pushing, I think, are going to have the American people, you know, reject them.
I think you're right. In fact, you and I were sitting here discussing the sweepstakes of who could be, who will be here this week at CPAC that will run. It'll be Ron DeSantis, Mike Pompeo, Ted Cruz, and a number of other folks. But I want to ask you something else, because before we get to that, and I had this conversation a couple of times this time, Joe Biden, I'll give you a shot at this, 6 months, over or under. I've taken the under on this. I don't think he makes it 6 months from today that he's in office. I mean, it's readily apparent. He's not up for the job. Am I right or wrong?
I mean, I think you're right that he's not up to the job. I think what speculation is that they're going to wait a year, maybe a year and a half, to give Kamala Harris a chance to kind of establish herself as potentially being presidential so she can step in. But the reality is I do think that he, you know, is not fully there, you know, from a cognitive standpoint.
Sure.
He's clearly not running his administration. You know, there was a story last week where Senator Collins came in to talk about bipartisan support on the COVID bill. And, you know, within about 45 minutes, the president started saying, yeah, maybe we can do this together. And the staff stepped in and said, no.
We can't do this.
Right.
Because he's off message all the time, because he doesn't know what the message is.
That's right.
All right. So let's talk about some of the things you've been working on. In order for the Republicans, now mathematically speaking, we talked about this as well, Florida should pick up 3 members of Congress,
right.
Texas the same, Montana's going to get one, South Dakota might get one, places like California, Michigan, New York, Illinois will all be losing a seat in Congress, so there's a natural migration to red states for the House of Representatives. So the Republicans stand a very good chance of taking over the House.
Excellent chance.
And it's a midterm. I mean,
right.
It could be a big swing toward the Republicans. Kevin McCarthy could certainly be the Speaker of the House. So what do you see? Do you see that happening?
I do. I mean, you know, we're only 5 votes away. So if you take a look at 5 seats, I mean, there's 47 seats that the House Republicans are targeting across the country.
47.
47. And they released a list. They basically have a series where, you know, Trump outran Biden. There's a number where, they barely won within the margin of victory, you know, within the margin of error, et cetera. So they've got 47 seats that they have publicly announced that they're targeting. They're recruiting candidates. You know, we had the highest percentage of women running for Congress last time around and actually won. You know, that has been advantageous to us. We had a large group of minorities, whether they were Asian Americans or Cuban Americans, et cetera, that basically won. So we're trying to be much more representative of the demography that we represent as
Sure.
Republicans. And I think those are all good steps. And I think, again, with Biden and his administration overstepping their bounds, Republicans are going to have a great chance to take the majority in the House.
And Republicans are also looking to extricate. We talked about Liz Cheney here a moment ago, but they're also looking to extricate people like Peter Meyer out of Michigan's 3rd
yeah.
Congressional District. Tom Norton's wandering around here at CPAC, who's already jumped in the race. Catalina Lau is going to go after Adam Kinzinger in Illinois. So some house cleaning on the Republican side, getting rid of what we have commonly referred to as rhinos.
Well, look, here, this is the advantage for us, is that primaries are good for Republicans. If you take a look at virtually every primary that ever happened in the country, usually the Republican nominee comes out stronger than before. And this is where we ought to fight our fights, right? If you believe that someone's been too much of a left-winger or is going along with the Democrats and not representing your district, you ought to jump in there and make the fight. And so I think this is healthy for the party. I think it's healthy for the conservative movement. And I think you're right. You're going to see seats across the country where, you know, whether you want to call them rhinos or anything else, that people who do not represent the people in their districts, the Republicans in their districts,
or they
forget
about them.
Yeah.
I still remember the story of, I saw Dave Brat here. He's now the dean of the business school at Liberty University. Of course, he beat Eric Cantor.
Right.
Totally shocked him in a primary.
Absolutely.
And then he was a member of Congress for two or three terms that he won there. So that can happen. I like Dave Brett, by the way, Michigan guy.
Yep.
All right, so the National Popular Vote, something else that you work on. You also work on 60 Plus, an organization. We've got about 4 minutes here. Let's work our best magic here to get the National Popular Vote. We had Trent England on the program a bit earlier. Totally opposed to it, as most conservatives are. You take a different stand because I don't see how you overcome California. National Popular Vote, a way to do an end run, if you will, on the Electoral College. But you support it.
That's right, because there's two different proposals. One's a constitutional amendment to eliminate the Electoral College and go to a pure national popular vote, which I oppose. I don't know a single Republican or conservative that supports that. There's another one that has a lot of bipartisan support, and that's the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. And what that does is states agree to allocate their delegates based on the national popular vote versus the winner-take-all rule, which today 48 states use that and two states use a congressional district.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that under a national popular vote interstate compact, the Electoral College stays in place, which means, A, state legislatures continue to determine the rules and regulations under which elections are run. B, state election officials actually run those elections versus a national election. And C, if there are unintended consequences and people don't like it, they can move to a different system again. They could go back to the winner-take-all. They can go to a congressional district plan or a proportional plan.
What do you think about that? Congressional districts, you know, splitting the vote in Michigan, for example, where you and I come from, or any other state for that matter.
Well, here's the problem with it. Politically, it's not very viable because if you happen to live in a Republican state, why would you give votes to the Democrats if you were a Republican legislature? If you lived in a Democratic state, why would you do the opposite? We're under a national popular vote interstate compact where every voter in every state's politically relevant. You basically run the election the way we run 514,000 other elections. Whoever wins the most votes wins. So it's quintessentially fair.
The problem is California would then dictate who's president.
I respectfully disagree. I mean, California and New York only make up 9% of the national popular vote. If you take a look at the 100 largest cities in America, Chicago, Detroit, L.A., New York, they only make up 19% of the national popular vote.
But California had 65%, they claim, go to Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton. I don't believe that because I believe that there's, you know, ballot harvesting, a lot of things going on.
Absolutely.
I can't stand it.
And what you have to understand is that California voters know that their vote doesn't matter, right? I mean, at 5:15 and 5 o'clock in California, you're getting out of work, 5:15 you're on the highway. It's 8:15 in Ohio and Florida. And what are we doing? We're calling presidential elections. And so if you're a good Republican conservative, you're sitting there going, I already know who won. My vote's not going to matter. Maybe I should just go home and have dinner with my family. I mean, we have examples, for instance, L.A. County and Riverside County right next to each other. L.A. County, big Democratic county, Democratic machine, 72% voter turnout. Riverside County, all the Republicans live there, 52% voter turnout. The difference is the people in Riverside are driving an hour, hour and a half to work, and they know who's going to win the election.
So that's one conversation. We've got about 30 seconds left for the 60 Plus Association. You're the president of 60 Plus. Give it the 30-second elevator pitch.
Well, 60 Plus is a conservative alternative to AARP. We basically are working with members of Congress and working for conservative policies to basically make sure that we secure and make Social Security, Medicare safer, that we have free market and market approaches to how to deal with issues dealing with Social Security and senior citizens. So it's basically, on a policy standpoint, we're the conservative alternative to AARP.
Solid news is always a great conversation. He's been involved with politics for a long time, former Michigan Republican Party chair, involved with Ted Cruz's campaign, and always has insider information for us. Saul, always appreciate it.
Great to be with you, Steve.
It's the Steve Gerber Show, back after this.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
We represent the bakers, auto repair shops, manufacturers, small business owners. Our job is to help businesses succeed by giving them a voice against restrictive regulations and overreaching government. Our commitment is to create and promote good public policy that will restore a strong, healthy economy. Our focus is being your champion for free enterprise. We are the Michigan Chamber, and we stand ready to fight for Michigan.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
I have held the same mirror for 13 years.
I have been decorated with purple dinosaurs, baseball teams, and football helmets.
I have witnessed 33 Thanksgiving dinners and one wedding proposal.
I have tiny notches marking the growth of three children.
I have caused a learning disability.
I am the reason that a fifth grader simply can't sit still.
I am responsible for a five-year-old's rage.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home was built before 1978, your family could be at risk. Let's make all kids lead-free kids. Log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD.
I am the reason a child has trouble hearing.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
Brought to you by the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Raise your health IQ on everything in school sports, from concussions to nutrition and much, much more, at the health and safety page of the MHSAA website. You can download information and take a variety of free online health courses. It's the hub dedicated to helping schools provide a healthy participation environment for student athletes. Just click Health and Safety from the homepage of the MHSAA website. A message from the MHSAA promoting the value and values of educational athletics.